Gilspadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
.609 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia, and as the song says, I am back. Not that I ever really left, as the ad says. I want to thank Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, Dan, I left the studio last night, had a late night.
Yep.
Walked out around 11:15.
Okay.
And it was spitting on me. By the time I was stuck in 30 minutes of Lincoln Tunnel traffic in the middle of the night,
yeah,
it started to rain.
Oh, good. Rainy Lincoln Tunnel traffic. That sounds delightful.
Right. And I would say it rained for maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45.
The rain was pretty unimpressive. It moved in a lot later than I expected.
Intense, though.
There were some pretty impressive thunderstorms over Pennsylvania. But because of the timing of this thing, you know, once you get past sunset, you lose the heat of the day. You lose energy in the atmosphere. So the storms pulsed down, and we just ended up with some showers. Unfortunately, rainfall totals came in lower than expected. Yep. I was hoping we would see a solid quarter inch. We got that in and around Warren County in northwestern New Jersey, and that was it. Everybody's waking up to damp conditions and puddles this morning. We still have some drizzle and mist around, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was enough to wash some of the pollen away. Fingers crossed, because this week has been awful.
This is the first year that I've been dealing with it. I never sneeze, and I do not really have the allergies like Eric has. And
you know,
I've been sneezing for 3 days.
I never dealt with it as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Oklahoma, my first job. And every time I would come back to visit, I would literally get off the plane in Philly or New York, and that pine pollen would like hit my nose, and that was it. So
it's awful.
You know, you leave and you come back.
My daughter experiences that coming back from London.
Mm-hmm.
Different allergies. She gets off the plane here. You can tell.
So let that be a lesson to all of you. Dig in. Stay in New Jersey.
Right, don't leave.
If you leave and come back, you're going to pay the price.
Local honey and dig in, and you'll be just fine. All right. So the weekend's here, right? I mean, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Rainy, sunny. What can I expect? Outside?
The big story here is a big warm-up. Our next big chance of rain isn't for almost another week. That's not until like next Wednesday or Thursday. There could be a few spot showers around. Yeah, no, today and tomorrow we're going to be in the 60s. That's fairly comfortable. And then 70 Saturday, 80s Sunday, 90s early next week.
Really?
Really heating up into early next week. Yes.
It's going to be hot. All right, summer's here.
Summer is just about here. Of course,
I love it.
You know, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. So
I have not wrapped my head around that. We're headed to London next week to see Elizabeth and Charlie the Butcher. And it's supposed to be in the 70s there. So I think we're going to have the cooler side across the pond.
For Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, at least the longer forecast. Who knows? England is very unpredictable.
The forecast here is for 70s for Memorial Day weekend, too, which is typical. That would be just fine. Yep.
But Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are going to be hot.
This Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are trending hot. I think we'll see at least 80s, if not some 90s in New Jersey.
The air goes back on then.
I think so, especially since I think there's going to be some humidity building in here, too. It's going to feel like summertime.
Yeah.
And it's a few days in a row. We've had a couple of hot days so far this season, but it's been like one, and then it cools off again. We could have a legit heat wave. If we get three in a row of 90-plus, that's a heat wave.
I'm ready.
I guess, you know, we're still 39 days away from summer at this point, so it's a little early, but we haven't had it yet, so if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks, Dan.
You got it.
I don't know, Eric. I am. I'm ready for summer. I'm thinking about summer. Maybe because I'm in a mindset where I'm going to be away for a week and it's vacation. I've decided not to bring my computer. I'm going to disconnect for 6 days. It's a big step.
That is a huge step. I can't remember the last time I took a computer on vacation. I don't even like taking my phone on vacation.
I know. I just there's so many things I'm juggling that I thought about, and Jody and I talked about it last night. I'm like, you know, you're right. I'm just going to leave it home. There's nothing that I need to do. I'm not doing any remote anything, no interviews, no broadcasting. I'm just going to enjoy the time with the family and friends.
I think that sounds like a great plan.
Yeah. So you watched some of the coverage last night with Donald Trump. You know, it's perplexing to me because Donald Trump, is he trying to tank the Republican Party? Like, is this on purpose?
I don't know what I was watching last night. I have to be honest with you. I mean, it started out with him calling his Chinese counterpart a friend. It ended with his Chinese counterpart lecturing him Taiwan.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare, either in his first term or in this term, where he looked like the weaker world leader on a stage. And I think that was the case last night.
It almost looks like they set him up to with all the fanfare and, you know, Xi Jinping received him at the Great Hall of the People.
Yeah.
Which, interestingly enough, is adjacent to Tiananmen Square, where the Chinese communists butchered thousands and thousands of students in 1989. And you've got warships and war games being played off the coast of Taiwan. So the Taiwan government, very concerned about the Chinese coming in. And Xi Jinping, for his part, has said the plan is to get Taiwan back by 2049,
yeah,
which would be the 100-year anniversary of their independence. So the optics, I think, were off. I had one of the things I did on Newsmax, I interviewed a Chinese dissident, somebody who had been imprisoned by the regime and had gotten out. And, you know, she talked about that the optics of here you have the Uyghur Muslims and Christians being butchered and tortured and all these things going on. And the elites are all shaking hands and back slapping and smiling and the kids are dancing. I think, and I asked a few people, I said, you know, not one word from the administration on the 400,000 acres of farmland the Chinese communists own that are in and around our military bases. Not one word about the police stations that are literally set up by the Chinese government to spy on their own citizens here in America. The 600,000 students that got granted their visas to stay in our colleges. I don't know. And then Trump, for his part, before he got on the plane, I'm sure you saw this, and Cory Booker was like the contrast. I'm watching the feed with Cory. Anytime you empower Cory Booker, you know you've said the wrong thing. President Trump literally said he is not concerned, what did he say, at all about Americans and their financial struggles because his focus is winning the war in Iran.
Right. Well, I mean,
which they're not doing at this point.
That no. And there's no.
What are we, 8 weeks in?
You know, in China, it's all about appearances, right? I mean, it's they want the pomp and circumstance. They want the appearances. They want things to
communists
look
love parades.
Regal. Right? Yeah, communists love parades. And, you know, you had to expect a certain amount of that. But usually you have the U.S. diplomatic corps that is smart enough to realize that, and they'll only give them so much. But it looks, you said the word setup. I was thinking the same thing, as like, wow, this was really set up to make Donald Trump look weak.
I thought so.
Side by side with his Chinese counterpart.
I asked every guest, what do you think the win is? And every one of them talked about trade. There's a trade imbalance. So we got to figure out these tariffs. And I'm thinking to myself, you've got what? NVIDIA's there, Tesla's there, all these big companies are there. Interesting contrast, they all had to check their cell phones at the airport because the Chinese spy and tap into every network. So not one of them brought a cell phone that could connect to their network. All dumb phones, no smartphones. Interesting.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens and what comes out of it. But, you know, the Taiwan issue is a big one and the trade issue is a big one. And I don't think either one of those got a step closer to being resolved.
Yeah, and even if we do get, and let me ask you this question. Here's what I really want to know. Donald Trump yesterday said that literally everyone is focused on his visit to China. I have two questions. One, did you know the president was going to China before we told you? And two, do you care? And as a sidebar to that, if you're a Trump voter, are you getting sick and tired of the blustering and the bravado and nothing's getting done? None of Donald Trump's bravado and quotes helped me when I had to fill up my tank for $75 on the way to New York yesterday. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 618 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
6:24 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. All right, let's jump right back into it. So, president's in China. You know, I was struck, and I mentioned it last night on Newsmax. I hosted a special show to report on the president landing, and our timing was perfect. I mean, he had landed, and we started the broadcast at 10 o'clock as the president was arriving at the Great Hall of the People. But, you know, it's hard to stomach some of the optics with the smiles and everything else and the glad handling and backslapping. And I did not think the president was at his best. He pulls the same stunt with, you know, you're my good friend. He says that about everybody. He said that about Putin. I mean, and listen, Xi Jinping is a brutal, murderous tyrant. Let's not forget, China is our enemy. Let's go to Dr. Craig in Mullica Hill. Dr. Craig, always good to talk to you. How you doing, man?
Hey, thank you, my friend. Thanks to you and Thomas and everybody at the talented team there in New Jersey 101.5 for telling it straight again today. Thank you.
You know, Craig, it did. It frustrated me. You and I have been friends for a while, and, you know, I've always told the truth when it came to COVID, now the nonsense about hantavirus, and now I have to be honest, I don't like what I'm seeing in China, because I fear that the real issues are going to be ignored for a couple of bucks that are not going to help American farmers, are not going to help American skilled trade workers. I don't know what we get out of this.
Yeah, well, there's some really big deals that are hugely important to bring up that a lot of people don't even know about. I mean, the Communist Chinese Party, when they put you in jail, not only do they, you know, own you and your family and everything about your life, they also can take your organs for donation, literally like the Uyghurs and the other folks that they have in jail. They have them tissue typed, and they can take your kidneys, your corneas. I mean, they harvest thousands of these against people's wills and wishes, and it's like World War II there every day. In fact, the documentation, all the receipts for the claims that I'm making are provided by Yan Yekelek, who's one of the best, you know, investigative reporters that I know, another friend of mine like yours, and the book that he's written is just, it literally incredible and unbelievable.
Yeah.
At any rate, I had the privilege of interviewing him on my radio show and podcast, available at healthisnumberone.com. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on iHeart, for gosh sakes. Come get the interview and see what I'm saying and see what it's all about. The book is called Killed to Order. It's unbelievable.
Doc, I'm going to share that. And the website is healthisnumberone.com, spelled out, healthisnumberone.com. Check it out. Dr. Craig Wax is a strong broadcaster, an excellent doctor, and a man that understands we need to lead with common sense when it comes to issues like this. Doc, always good to talk to you. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for calling.
Bill.
You got it. Take care. All right. Gary, Juan, you guys hang in there. I'll be right back. 6:28. Eric Scott with the news next. 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, as I covered last night's presidential arrival in Beijing, meeting with Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, really the Chinese murderous dictator, if you really want to call it what it is. China, not our friend. They are the enemy, no question. They spy on us. They're buying up farmland near our military bases. They've installed 600,000 foreign national students that Trump allowed to have a visa. How many of them work for the CCP? How many of them are spying on Americans right now? You've got these centers that are set up by the Chinese government all across America, L.A., Chicago, New York, and they are set up to spy on their own people. And you know, this is something that, that is not in line with American law, but yet it goes on. And I have not seen any of our blue state governors or blue city mayors do anything about it. So we have an enormous problem with China, not to mention the human rights abuses. And just for context, 1994, President Clinton delinked, literally uncoupled, the human rights condition on most favored nation trade status. So trade with China resumed in earnest without any discussion of human rights. And you've had, I mean, there's no worse regime in the history of the world than the Chinese communists when it comes to murdering their own people. So we've got a problem. And China is one of the engines behind the Iranian regime, given all the trade they do with Iran and the oil. So the idea that President Trump walks in there almost hat in hand, I think, is somewhat of an embarrassment. And it's on the heels of a pretty stupid thing that Trump said the other day, which was he does not care about your financial struggles because his mission is to defeat Iran and make sure they don't get a nuclear weapon. But, you know, we've been hearing for 25 years that they were 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon. Look at all the viral videos of Benjamin Netanyahu. Can't trust that guy. Saying that the nuclear, they were 10 days away, 2 weeks away, through for what, for 25 years? I don't know that I buy it. How about the weapons of mass destruction that led us into war in the Middle East, taking the lives of, what, 3,000 American patriots? So, you know, you got to question a lot of this. So I'm not thrilled with it. I hope what comes out of that is a reversal of some of the nonsense going on in this country. And if President Trump addresses that and stands strong with our allies in Taiwan, then maybe something will come out of that. What are your thoughts? Let's go to Gary in Edison. What do you think, Gary?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I want to congratulate you on your messages today, especially the one about the economy. I cannot understand how egregious this remark was.
Yeah, I agree. It was.
Not having his finger on the trigger. Both the communist leader and Trump are two of the same kind in terms of personality and everything else, because he's lassoed the whole Republican Party in terms of any kind of voting.
What do you mean by that, Gary? What do you mean? That Trump has?
Because they're afraid to end up going against Trump.
Well, look what happens when you go against Trump. You end up getting massied. Tom Massey is an American patriot, one of the best members of Congress, and by the way, one of the only Republicans that consistently stands up for the Constitution. He was Charlie Kirk's, quote, favorite member of Congress. If Charlie Kirk were alive today, he would be in Kentucky campaigning for Tom Massey. So the fact that Trump turned on Massey in a disgusting, brutal way is horrible. Now they trumped up some accusation of some staffer that claims that he was sexually inappropriate. All nonsense. Just, you know, Gary, the problem is that Trump at the end of the day is a bully. And bullies do what bullies do. And he doesn't get his way. He comes after you personally. And I'll tell you something. All eyes, May 19th, Gary, mark my word, the Republican Party cannot move forward if Tom Massey loses that race.
Now, when is the tipping point going to be, Bill? Because where did you ever see the movie A Network?
No.
There is a scene where people have had it. And, you know, people are saying, tell me out the window and say, I've had it. I can't take it anymore. I also want to end up looking at the correlation between visits to mental health clinics and Trump's administration.
That's interesting. You know, look, we'll see. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Gary, right. We are already there. If you look at the number of unaffiliated voters, it's on the rise everywhere. Independent voters are rising, and young people are sick and tired of a lack of message from the Republican Party, no leadership. Look at New Jersey, Gary. What do? The best they can do is want to pause the gas tax. I'm going to remind everybody, the gas tax is a Republican tax. The Republicans gave it to us. Now they want to get a headline. Oh, yeah. All right, Jerry and Vicky. That'll really help me. Pause the gas tax for 10 minutes while I'm still paying $70 to fill my tank, while my energy bills are between $500 and $800 a month, while my potholes can't get fixed, while the cost of food is through the roof. Yeah, save me 40 cents. Thank you, but no thank you. How about you fight for something legitimate and real? Anyway, Gary, thank you for calling. Appreciate you. I am here to speak the truth. Juan in Roselle. What do you got, Juan? You got about 45 seconds. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. Morning. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Thank you.
While Trump was in China, rubbing elbows over
China.
Do you know there was a massive demonstration on 42nd Street yesterday with a shutdown?
I didn't know that. All I know is I sat in some kind of god-awful traffic in the middle of the night yesterday trying to get out of Manhattan. So what were they protesting?
No, it was the middle of the day, the CCP. They're protesting to shut down the CCP. It was at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, they were for the communists or they hate the communists? Which side were they on?
They hate the communists.
I love them,
man.
There you go.
Was the moron that gave the permit?
Well, it's good if they hate the communists. We're with them.
I understand that, but save that for the weekend, not in the middle of a business.
Thank you, Juan. Let me tell you something, Juan. I am sick and tired of the protest, too. Enough. You know what? Get back to the keyboard.
You're entitled to speak your mind. I love it. Speak. Go for it.
Juan,
come on, let's be for real.
I'm with you. Let's stop the protest that shut down traffic. I am 100% with you on that. Enough. You know what, keyboard warriors? Get back to the keyboard. Yell about it on X and Facebook and leave my streets alone because I got to get to work.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, man. Take care. 6:45. Fast traffic into one minute.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey 101.5.
6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Bob Williams.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, it was too late to call you. But I got in the car around 11, I'm going to say 11:20 maybe last night. Right. Navigation had me getting home at 1:15, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Uh-huh. And I realized too late I should have gone left and gone over, 36th Street and gone through Staten Island. Instead, like an idiot, I went to the Lincoln Tunnel, and it was just, it was bumper to bumper in Manhattan trying to get across town. So I'm not going to do it. This weekend, I am taking your work around. But what happened at the bridge? What was the concrete? What was that about?
Yeah, George Washington Bridge. Yesterday, mid to late morning, a piece of concrete fell off one of the overpasses under the apartments, and that's called the Trans-Hudson Expressway. That's part of 95 to the GW Bridge at Washington Heights. The lower level was closed for an inspection. Now, mind you, this is the second time in a week that a piece of concrete has fallen from under the apartments. And this is kind of concerning. The inspection is complete. It's deemed safe to drive on the GW Bridge, on the approach on the New York side for now.
So this is southbound. Southbound when you go.
Southbound, westbound, yes.
Is it three or four, the big apartment buildings? I imagine that's NYCHA, right?
I believe that, there's four.
There's four of them, right?
Big apartment buildings. So, they were built in the early 60s.
I mean, I would be concerned living there, given that. I mean, this reminds me, I remember when the Big Dig in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And the concrete was not put in properly. They cut corners and it fell and killed a woman driving through the tunnel. They had to revamp the entire thing. But this is just, who's surprised? I mean, we're talking about, it was built 60 plus years ago.
Yep. They say it's okay right now, but you got to be concerned of the unknown. Port Authority has not said exactly yet what's going on. They reopened it like 2:00. Hopefully we'll get some more info later on today. Like, is it safe? Are they going to have to do repairs at some point? What's the plan? Because this is a major, major choke point. If this thing has to get closed for any period of time for a long repair, I can't even imagine if they have to close everything there. But again, you look at, I'm sorry, you look at the whole situation.
I was going to ask you, Bob, what would be the workaround? You 287 to the Tappan Zee?
Yeah, that's all you got.
Whatever the hell they call it today.
I know. Let's see what happens. But let's fingers crossed. But it's certainly a concern as you drive under that thing. But it's open, and they say it's safe for now.
You know, Bob, it always made me nervous when we would go back and forth to New England when Jody's dad was alive, and we would spend holidays, and that was my preferred route. going through that through the Bronx and you know up around Yankee Stadium, and I I would always be nervous coming home because you see the buildings on the approach. And you're like, it's just somewhat unsettling driving under those enormous buildings. And certainly, thankfully, no one was hurt. But just the traffic lane closures, I don't know what would happen. I mean, I think the Tappan Zee would be backed up for miles if you lose that because it's the only way in. I mean, what, the Henry Hudson? How else do you come in?
That's the only road that would be available. Henry Hudson, that's for passenger vehicles. But this we could talk for a half hour of this, but the GW Bridge, that's all the truck route for I-95
right. Where are the
trucks
up and down
going? The East Coast. If they have to close that thing, which they're not right now, but it's like, that's very, very concerning.
Well, keep us posted on what you hear. Appreciate you, Bob. Thank you.
Hold your breath when you're driving under that thing.
Don't worry. I already do.
Yeah.
Take care, Bob. Talk to you in a minute. All right. Eight. I just went forward in time. That happens sometimes. Now, I got a lot more to talk about. It is 6:57. Eric Scott with the news in 3 minutes.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
7:08 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. As I mentioned yesterday, today is a hearing with the New Jersey State Assembly on a bill that would remove any liability from healthcare providers on late-term abortions or child mutilation surgeries. Don't call it gender-affirming. That's nonsense. Gender-affirming would mean that the kids embrace their biology. This is child mutilation, and in New Jersey, it would be continuing, even at the big hospitals, had Donald Trump not taken away their money. So, again, I call it like it is. I'll beat Trump up on the stupid things that he says, and I'll give him credit for the good things he does. And one of the best things that Donald Trump has done is he starved the beast and took away the funding from these big hospitals to force them to stop butchering these kids. And you know, they're mad about it. They're mad at me for calling them out on it, but too bad, guys. We called you out. It's all about the money. And now what's happening after I did this broadcast a couple of weeks ago, interestingly enough, now the state legislature is looking to cover these guys. I wonder why. Let's go to Marie Tasey, who will be testifying today. She is the executive director of New Jersey Right to Life, one of the premier advocates, honestly, in the country on protecting the unborn and young families and young moms in particular. Hi, Marie. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
You know what, Marie? I'm doing great. I was shot out of a cannon this morning. I had a late night. I almost did an all-nighter, which I haven't done in many, many years. But I'm here ready to go. So you're on your way to Trenton.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Trenton to testify on the Senate committee substitute. Yep.
Tell me about the bill in plain speak. What does this mean in New Jersey? Because I'm looking at this thinking, I called out these hospitals a couple of weeks ago, and I stand by this. I think there should be criminal liability for any doctor who performed this butchery on children. And now we're finding out that it's very possible that many of the parents never consented. So the legislature is trying to protect them.
Yeah, this is basically a very broad shield law that protects providers, undermines other states' laws. You know, also undermines parental authority. It creates criminal penalties for anyone who, gets in the way of, you know, this type of access, the abortion and the, the child mutilation. And the interesting thing is, like you said, I was talking to Greg Quinlan about this. I said, are any facilities even performing this surgery anymore? And we don't even know that they are. So the whole part about the, gender, affirming care seems to be really odd. You know, it's what are they doing?
Well, I wonder if it tells me, Marie, that there are parents out there that some who may have heard my rant a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, maybe we have a case, and I would encourage it. I mean, I think they should sue to high heaven. And bankrupt some of these groups and some of these doctors that are, you know, vacationing in the islands and buying the second Bentley because of the money that they made. I mean, the money we were reading that some of these docs make north of $50,000 to mutilate a kid versus $1,500 to perform necessary back surgery. Like think that,
that's terrible.
It's, that's
yeah.
nuts. I mean, it's not, and again, anecdotal. I don't know, but I've heard from doctors who have said this. So, so the problem is blanket immunity and punishing people mm-hmm. that call them out is very dangerous, because what they're ignoring, it seems to me, is that if there is malpractice involved, if a doctor makes an enormous mistake, are we now basically saying doctors can do no wrong?
Well, the language of the bill says that, yes, that malpractice, that, you know, insurers cannot go after the providers for providing the service. So that's a very broad, you know, statement. What does that mean? If there is an abuse, if there is a problem, does that mean that, you know, the insurers cannot go after the providers?
Right.
You know, language is very broad. The bill threatens constitutionally protected free speech. You know, when I was testifying, Senator Zwicker said, oh, there's nothing in here that prohibits free speech. Well, it prohibits the First Amendment, which clearly prohibits free speech.
Right.
You know, courts have held that it doesn't have to explicitly say that,
right.
it, you know, bans free speech to obviously cause a problem and interfere with it. So he's wrong there.
Well, not only that, know, Marie, he may ban your free speech today in the hearing. He did it yesterday. He did it on Monday. They went after Greg and Sean Hyland and basically shut them down. They're like, nope, can't talk about that. You're off topic. So and then when the opposition came up, those in support of the bill, they let them just have the run of the place.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was there. I was there.
Yeah. So what are you expecting yeah. today? Will it fall on deaf ears, or do you think you might get some traction? And let me ask you, are there any Republicans, because I'd love to shout them out if there are, who are advocating with you on this to stop this nonsense?
You know, in the past, the Republicans on this committee have all voted no on these ridiculous bills. And I would hope and expect that they would do the same here. However, they are sorely outnumbered, you know, on this committee and, of course, in the legislature.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. But, you know, in the Senate Health Committee, Holly Schapese and Senator Singer, I believe, voted no. Owen Henry was absent. But again, you know, it was like a 6-2 vote or something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And they go there. They know, you know, they tell their members what they have to do. They're like a bunch of robots. They just do what they're told. And they just rubber stamp everything. It's really a shame. It's very frustrating. But we still have to stand up and, you know, speak out and expose these abuses that, you know, that they're trying to put over on the people of New Jersey.
So let's talk. Go ahead. Go ahead. Make the point.
No, I was just saying that, you know, how often you meet somebody that, you know, is affected by a law that New Jersey passes and they say, when did this happen? You know, and
you're like, right.
Wake up, get involved. You know, they're passing terrible laws. And if you don't, you know, keep involved and know what's going on, it's going to affect your lives in a very negative way.
Yeah.
And vote.
And you got to vote, right? We keep yelling about it, but we got to get people out. Marie, please let me know tomorrow what happens today or even later today. I would like to make sure that I'm accounting for it, reporting on it, and then informing people so we can get to the next step, which will be calling their legislators once this thing gets out of committee and moves to a full vote, which I'm sure it will, given that it's stacked with the radical Democrats. But keep me posted. And if there's any video from today that we can share, especially if it shows how they try to shut down the opposition, I want to share that so that the regular folks out there can see exactly what you and I are talking about, that we've seen firsthand that the Democrats have just become the party of bullies and radicals.
Okay. Well, awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Marie. Take
care.
Have a
good day.
You
Take
too.
Care.
Good luck. That is Marie Tasey, Executive Director of New Jersey Right to Life, a real champion. All right. Hey, other side, I want to tell you a little bit about my thoughts on the U.S. Senate primary coming up on June 2nd. 7:16, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
7:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So you may not know this, but there's an election coming up on June 2nd. And you've got Cory Booker not facing any credible primary challenge that I know of. I don't know if anybody's even filed a run against him. And he's got more than $22 million to spend on his reelection. There are four Republicans vying for that nomination. And, you know, it's unconventional what I'm going to do right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to tell you who I voted for. And, you know, I value, obviously, that we have a secret ballot and no one should know who you vote for. But I thought it was personal for me. And I wanted to tell you because there are four guys running. One I don't know at all. This doctor, Robert Lebovics, but he got endorsed by the VOD in Lakewood. So that tells me he's all bought into Lakewood-style overdevelopment, and that is a non-starter. So in my opinion, he is disqualified because of that. The second one, Alex Zidane, you know, we had a time that we worked together at on Chasing News at Fox. And let me just say, I don't know. I can't imagine how anybody thinks he's qualified to be a United States Senator. Then you've got Rich Tabor, who I like very much. New Jersey State Trooper, very good guy, very outspoken, and one of the better speakers out there. But is having some challenges getting out of the gate. You know, clearly didn't check with his attorneys when they went after him, and ended up getting suspended from his state police job. Now, I don't think that disqualifies him. It was a toss up for me between Richard Tabor. It's actually Richard Tabor is how you pronounce his name, and he's a good man, and he's certainly welcome back on this show anytime. And then there's Justin Murphy, local elected official in South Jersey, smart guy. Dedicated guy, loyal guy, and Justin is a guy that I met early on the campaign trail, even before I was running for governor, just a guy that dedicates his time to building the party. And I'm going to be very blunt. None of these guys have raised more than $50,000 in a race that the opponent's going to have more than $22 million. So we know it's an uphill battle. So what am I looking for? I'm looking for honest, decent people who have integrity, common sense, and are willing to sacrifice their time to fight on behalf of moving the needle to restore integrity to government. So based on that and based on my personal knowledge, Justin Murphy earned my vote. He's a good man. He is capable of getting on the debate stage and giving it back to Cory Booker and calling him out. Can the Republicans win this race? Doubtful, highly unlikely, but you got to fight. And Justin Murphy is a fighter. He's a fighter who lines up on our conservative issues. To my knowledge, he's pro-life. He is pro-Second Amendment. And he was the only one who showed up at the New Jersey Right to Life dinner that I emceed couple of weeks ago. So that alone, if you are a voter that believes that we need to do more to protect women and to protect the unborn, Justin is your guy. If you are a Republican, no matter what where you stand on that issue, who wants to take the fight to the Democrats and wants to get behind somebody who understands grassroots development, building. This guy, I spoke at one of their events. Let me tell you something. Justin had more than 100 people at some of these events, even more. Like, they do farm events. He draws the people out. And let me tell you, that is valuable in today's world as we try to rebuild the scraps of what once was the majority party in New Jersey. So, Justin Murphy, you earned my vote. I would encourage everyone out there to cast your vote for Justin Murphy if you are voting in the Republican primary. That goes for you unaffiliated voters, too. Cross over. Vote for Justin. The guy's a good guy. And I think he's the most capable of bringing a serious fight to Cory Booker. 727. Eric Scott with the news next. Seven 37 on New Jersey 101.5 in the morning. I am participating with you at 10 o'clock this morning. Talk to Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, I did something that I don't often do. I don't know the last time I've done this, but I already voted in the Republican primary.
Wow.
And I called out on the air who I voted for.
Really?
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. So, Cory Booker has got, I just looked it up, his latest figure, it's north of now $22 million that he's got to spend on this campaign. And that's before, I mean, right there. I could stop talking right now.
Yeah.
$22 million. And he will also have the benefit of the Democrat Senatorial Committee. He'll have the benefit of the Democrat National Committee. He'll have the benefit of all his Hollywood friends. He will effectively, in campaign terms, have unlimited resources.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? So there's a Republican primary happening right now. And I looked at it and I'm like, who? Like, I don't know if you've looked at this primary yet. None of the guys have raised more than, at last reporting, $50,000.
I'm surprised that it's that high.
So let me just first ask you, have you heard from any of these campaigns?
None.
Not one?
No.
Really? Are you surprised by that?
No. No, because I mean, this is not a legitimate campaign. I mean, it's who wants to be the Republican sacrificial lamb in a race that is virtually unwinnable.
So I looked at the four candidates. There are four of them, and I went through them. And you know, the first guy, this Robert Lebovics, you know, maybe he's a decent guy. I don't know, he's a doctor. And so certainly he is probably the wealthiest of all the candidates, but he got endorsed by the VOD. So that to me is a disqualifier because that means, you know, where he's going to take his orders from. This is there's no way for him to oppose all this Lakewood style overdevelopment. Mm-hmm. So disqualified. Then you got Alex Zidane. You know, here's a guy that I don't even understand for the life of me how anybody thinks he's qualified to be a United States senator. So that right there. And I knew him. I mean, I worked with him at Chasing. So I, needless to say, that was a non-starter. No way I'd support him. Then you got Richard Tabor, who I like. And by the way, I spoke after him at an event. And he's a fantastic speaker. I mean, just an energized, smart, engaging guy. But he's a state trooper who got himself into hot water. And you and I talked about this. How do you not have the conversation with your attorney before you file, before you go and get yourself suspended from the job?
Right. That was.
I mean, I went through that. I went through the legal proceedings and I won. But see, how did I win? I did my homework. And then Justin Murphy. And Justin, I've come to know over the years, very solid guy, very strong local commitment, would have events. And you know, this was even before I was running and then when I was a candidate. And you get 150 or more people showing up at these events. He's a grassroots leader, so I voted for him. And I voted for him because he had the guts to stand up for me after I won. They did this this Highlands Convention. His partner, Heather, who runs it, did a great job. And and I won the vote. So they stood by their word and they got behind me. And I say this because I agree with you. It's such an uphill battle that now the party has got to look and dig deep and say, who can help us stay above water and maybe start to appeal to some of those unaffiliated voters out there? Because right now, I don't see a pathway for the Republicans at this moment. They're either all in on the MAGA world, which is really not working out for them because Trump continues to say just asinine things like, I don't care about the cost of living with the Americans. It's not even on my mind. I mean, what a jerk. What a stupid thing to say. Just, you know what it was? It was let them eat cake. I think I heard that in one of the reports. That was it. Like, you peasants. I've got my world around me and I'm hanging out with all the elites and I don't really care about the working man. But then, you know, you've got the other side of the party, like the Bramnicks, who I think has lost his mind. Not only does he spend time trying to bait me into a fight on social media, which I find ridiculous. And by the way, John, I'm not going to engage with your crazy tweets. Like, I think you've lost it. But he hates Trump so much that he's at war with his own party. So you've got these two sides. Meanwhile, there's an election coming up, and we couldn't find a candidate who could raise more than $50,000.
Yeah. Well, but you also it goes back to what we've been talking about for years. You have no state party structure.
No.
There is no fundraising mechanism.
Right.
It's not a competitive district, so the National Republican Senate Committee isn't going to dump money into
it. They would be fools to dump money into Jersey.
To do that. There are other seats that you could potentially win, but it's not going to be in New Jersey. And who is the rising statewide candidate that could run and win a statewide senatorial campaign. I don't know who it is. You couldn't win governor. So, right. You know, it's unlikely you're going to be able to, in a campaign where even fewer people pay attention.
Well, you and I talked about this, right? That the Republican nominee lost by 15 points. He refused to come on this station. Refused to come on this morning show.
Yeah.
And his goons were telling our guys they didn't want my support. They didn't need my support. So they were so arrogant, and then he got embarrassed. And, you know, he's talking about running again. Chinarelli is talking about running for a fourth time. You can't make this up. So, and then you've got Tom Kaine, who's God knows what happened to him.
Yeah.
He's been out for 8 or 9 weeks now. He has missed almost 80 votes. How he has not resigned his seat is beyond me. And, you know, Republicans get mad when I call it out, but I would be screaming from the rooftops if that was a Democrat.
Without a doubt. I mean, and the Democrats had a debate. The Democrats that are running in the primary for that district, they had a debate last night, and they all kind of talked about it. And they danced around the issue a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and were respectful about the potential medical issue or whatever's going on, wished him well, speedy recovery, blah, blah, blah. But they also were very correct, and each one of them said, you know, right now all you have is a spokesman for Kaine saying he'll be back at 100% soon. And don't worry, the staff is maintaining the office. Well, the staff wasn't elected.
That's right.
And, you know, you're elected congressman in a district that is probably going to wind up going Democrat.
Well, now, no question about it. Because he is not going to be running for re-election. I don't see. You don't go from, I am completely underwater with no communication. Hey, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because that question will plague you. So at some point, Tom Kaine is either going to have to disclose what his medical condition is, or he needs to resign. Because there's no way to face the voters in November as a Republican in this climate with Donald Trump at, like, what, 32% in the state or whatever he's at? Horrible. It's going the wrong way, and now you get a guy that is the absentee member of Congress. You're paid to vote. Now, is he giving up his salary while he's dealing with his medical condition? I don't know, but he should. This isn't right. And it's an affront to the voters, and the Republican Party should be calling on Tom Kaine to step aside, let somebody else come in, because this is unacceptable behavior. And God forbid, if he's got a horrible condition, a brain tumor, I don't know, cancer, some horrific thing, we will pray for you, Tom. I consider you a friend, and God forbid what your family might be going through. But the business of the people continues. And the people in the district have a right to be represented by someone who shows up for the job. 7:46, fast traffic, instant weather next.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePue.
Hey. 7:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, yep, there is an election coming up. Brian in Central Jersey. Brian, what's going on? Do you want to talk about Middlesex County? What's happening?
Well, I mean, a little town in Middlesex County called South Amboy.
Yeah, we love South Amboy. What's happening there?
It was a primarily Democratic town for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people now that are Republicans and unaffiliated is unbelievable.
Well, you know, that's it, Brian. It's the unaffiliateds that are going to make the difference. That is the future of the state and the future of the country. All the people that are just sick and tired of it. They're sick and tired of the got to be MAGA or not MAGA and all that. It's all of it. They're sick of it. And I don't blame them.
They made it impossible almost for the independents to run in a general because of the amount of signatures you need.
Well,
South Amboy is a 1.4 square mile town. The independent needs almost 175 signatures.
Well, you need somebody that's got the time to go knock on the doors and get them.
And there are two independent candidates running.
Really?
Yeah.
And what are they running on?
They're running on the fact that, you know, South Amboy hands out pilots like they're Tic Tacs.
Yep.
And the older residents are fed up.
Sure they are. They're paying the burden.
You know, and it's just sad, you know, that I grew up there. I'm no longer there. I got out. And, you know, I'm watching the race because I was a one-time, a lifelong resident. and you got a young kid running for mayor, Chris Smiga. You have a Republican running, Louis Cruz, and now a former councilman, Brian McLaughlin, that's now an independent.
Who do you like?
I like the independent and the Republican.
Who's the, what's the independent's name?
Chris Smiga. He's running for mayor.
Chris Smiga. I'm going to ask Producer Thomas to look up South Amboy and get contacts for all three of them. I'd like to, I'd love to hear the, I mean, to me, the independent has one option, either win with, because they're probably mostly unaffiliated voters in South Amboy, or join with the Republican or talk the Republican into dropping out. Because a three-way race, the Democrat wins.
Right. Well, no, I'm saying, what I'm saying is one for each council seat and a mayor. So it's one-on-one. You know, it's not three different slates. The two independents are independent of each other, and then there's a Republican running for another council seat.
Oh, okay. I thought they were all running for mayor. All right. Well, it's interesting. I would like to see the unaffiliated independent get a seat, because I think that's going to be the new trend. You know, we've talked about this. Like, how do you break the back of the backroom cabal? Well, you don't feed the cabal. You ignore them. And you skip their process, and you go right to the general election. And if we had more Republicans that thought like that, the Republican Party wouldn't be in such disarray. But right now, it's in total disarray. The Republican candidate can't get any help. The Middlesex County organization doesn't have any money. The New Jersey Republicans have no money. So it's like a non-starter, Brian. And this is why you saw in the mayor contest earlier this week that you had a couple of socialists win office against incumbents. And that's happening because young people are saying, hey, we can't afford to live here. We can't afford to buy a house. And these commies are speaking our language. Now, we know the commie plan is not sustainable. But until Republicans start appealing to young people by saying, let me tell you what is sustainable, create a flourishing housing market by ending this scourge of high-density housing, by ending the sanctuary state, by really fighting. We need every town in New Jersey to not comply with Mount Laurel. That's what you need. You need mayors willing to stand up and say, I'd rather go to jail than comply with what you are forcing us to do, because I'm not going to risk my residents' future and safety with the water pressure issue, with the public safety issue, with the need for more cops and firefighters and everything in between. And the fact that you've got a mandate from Trenton on educating these kids and the local taxpayers, many of them elderly and retired, have to pick up the burden on the school costs. We need a thought revolution in this state, and it's not going to come from the Republicans at their current state because they're too weak to rise up. So all these local Republicans, they're on their own, and that's the problem, Brian. That's been the problem for many, many years. Anyway, thanks for calling. At least I'm going to put South Amboy on our radar. 758. I got a story on the other side that Kathy, our board op, brought up as far as what do you do when you have a day trip somewhere? I had a workaround with a free membership that I'll explain to you, and I want to ask you if you've ever done anything similar. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 7:58 is time. Eric Scott with the news next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Eric, I was telling board op Kathy here that I was thinking about your story about where you would get a cat nap or a disco nap, as you call it, yeah, when you're working in the city. I once had to go to Seattle for a couple hours. I was working in Morristown. I had to get my broker's license in Washington State, and I had to take the test in person. This is the old days. So I took an early morning flight. I flew out to Seattle. I got there and I called a local gym and I said, hey, I'm taking my broker's license for Washington in Seattle and I'm looking for a place to work out. Do you guys offer any opportunities? And they're like, oh,
for potential new members, we offer a free day. So I did. I took the free day. I land at like 10 in the morning. I go to the gym. I work out, shower. They did charge me $2 for the towel. I left my stuff in the locker, took my exam. Passed it because, you know, in the old days, they would print it. You wouldn't know if you passed. The printout would come, and I'm like, I better have passed this. I just flew to Seattle. I then went back to the gym, worked out, showered, and caught the red eye back and went back to work.
That's funny.
Right? The old days.
I told you, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air, but when I was working in the city, if I had to do a quick turnaround, there was a movie theater not far from where I was working, where the studios were, and it was a legit movie theater, it was a $5 matinee.
Yeah.
So I would go and I would spend $5, didn't care what the movie was, and I would go into the theater and I would go into the very back row, into the corner.
Yeah.
And I would nap during the movie.
I love it.
And then I would get up and I would go back and do another shift.
Because what do you do?
Right. I mean, I wasn't going to get a hotel.
Exactly. So that's funny you say that. I'm not going to do that this weekend because I don't trust anything in New York anymore.
I don't know that I would do that
this
time.
Well, I'm doing the morning show. So 7 to 9, I'm a special guest on Wake Up America Weekend. And then I've got 4 hours till I host the show. So Kathy's like, you got a layover in New York. I'm like, I know. I got a 4-hour layover before the 1 o'clock show. So I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Am I going to walk in the park? Am I going to go? I don't eat before I broadcast. So I'm really not sure how to spend that time. But your movie theater idea is intriguing.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would do that in today's Manhattan.
I don't know today. I don't know that I would do that. But there's got it. Maybe there is. Maybe you can find the gym thing again.
I know. I thought that. I don't know. I need to think this through. Any ideas that you have? And hey, have you ever done what Eric did? Take the disco nap in a theater in between meetings. And have you ever done what I've done? Have you done the red eye and then flown back and gone right to work? And do you think that I took advantage of the gym by taking the day membership? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 812 is the time. Traffic on with the next.
Windows down, opinions up. New Jersey's talking all day. Call 1-800-283-101.5 to join the conversation. New Jersey 101.5. Oh.
A24 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. All right, let's jump into it. Brenda in South Jersey. All right, apparently the Bill Spady helpline is open for business. Brenda, how can I help you? My producer Thomas told me you've got a pretty horrible story.
I do. My husband was a bit older than me. He served his country when he didn't have to. He was a Marine. He was an only child. He did nearly 2 years at Lejeune, first hitch, second hitch, Vietnam, boots on ground. Very proud of his country. He worked almost until the day he died, even with an oxygen tank on his back going out the door due to exposures. All that being said, he dealt with VA Medical Center in Philadelphia and unfortunately died next to me in the hospital. I suffered a pulmonary stroke as I took care of him. He was a nurse. Mm-hmm. That's what he did for a living. And a very good nurse. November 11th, I suffered a pulmonary stroke. I was hospitalized lifting him. He wasn't a big man, but I'm a small person. The very next day, my daughters brought him in to the same hospital. And when the ICU doctors inquired with VA in Philadelphia for his medical records for proper treatment, as he was receiving disability, his lungs were really bad, but they had him on astronomical amounts of gabapentin, which is not good for the lungs.
So Brenda, what happened? So he passed away under their care?
He passed away in a private hospital, and the only thing the doctors had to work with was a diagnosis of COPD, but he had a plethora of other things.
Yeah.
cancers, a lung reduction.
So, Brenda, how can I be helpful?
They stopped his VA disability when he died based on his death certificate. He was due to be increased to 100%, but got too sick to come into the office.
Okay.
The VSO officer's office, and she told me that after his death.
Brenda, so does that mean you're not getting any benefits?
No, they stopped them because of what the death certificate read, COPD. I was advised to contact the doctor to review his medical records, which took me a year to get from VA.
Here's what I'm going to do, Brenda. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in touch with Congressman Chris Smith's office, and I want you to pose your question to them because he is one of the chief advocates for veterans in the House, and he happens to be a local congressman right here in New Jersey. So we're lucky to have him, and I want to put you in touch with his office. I want you to lay out your case to them, and let's see if they can help because he has been able to help other veteran families in the past, and I think maybe he can help you. So I want to put you on a brief hold. Producer Thomas is going to get you the number of Congressman Smith's office and call them today. Tell them I suggested you call and then call me back and let me know what happens. All right, it's 8:27. Hey, on the other side, I want to talk about this World Cup coming up and the fact that I don't think it should even be here in New Jersey. I'm disgusted by it. I wish it was not too late to cancel it, but here we are. And I do support the governor's push to not only raise the NJ transit fees for those going to the game, but I support fully the increase in sales tax for anything related to the World Cup. It's positive for New Jersey taxpayers. I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the news next. 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Yeah, you know, Eric, I think I inadvertently have fed the hate-o-meter over the past few days. I was going through a review of since Monday, and I know that I give potential future opponents and detractors tons of ammunition from the morning show. But one of the things that I've really looked at, and I wanted to get your thoughts. I this is something that I think would make a good article, even you know, maybe a book about how New Jersey has changed since Jim Florio was governor.
Oh boy!
But I do believe that had his tax hike become law or stayed in place and not been undone by Governor Whitman, I don't know that we would be in the dire straits we're in today.
I've done the analysis over the years and, you know, frankly, got a lot of hate myself when I did the analysis with the conclusion that we would have been better off today had that been done. Now, I probably did that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but I think it's still true now. You know, when you when you win an election by promising a 30% tax cut, there's going to be a way to pay for it. And, you know, the whole Whitman budget scheme was based on the hope and expectation that the stock market would never go down, there would never be a recession, that there would never be an economic slowdown. And, you know, mortgaging our future and taking money out of the pension fund and, you know, all those types of things. The problem was not that Florio raised taxes. It was the way that he...
Middle of the night.
Middle of the night that he and Assembly Speaker Doria and the rest, you know, how they did it.
Well, and to your point about Whitman, you know, you can pay for a tax cut with future growth, but you have to have the patience to do that. You know, we saw the Bush tax cuts. It took 9 months, a year to really kick into gear. And then you find that the government actually had a surplus of revenue because you stimulate economic growth. The problem is she didn't wait to stimulate the economic growth. And what happened? She started shifting money around from the transportation trust fund and others.
Yep.
And you know, now look at some of our major roadways, disaster. So somebody said it yesterday, a caller said consumption taxes. And I am a big believer in that. That has always been a part of my platform since I got into the political arena, that you should pay for what you're using. So other than the timing, truthfully, on another day, I would have supported a hike in the gas tax, but not the way they did it. because they did it by punting the responsibility away from the legislature and to the Department of Transportation.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. So now you can raise a tax without legislative action. And I thought that was criminal.
Well, I mean, you know, and to your point about Florio, I mean, you can make the argument now in hindsight. And even though it was the tax revolt that came out of that tax hike that ultimately launched this radio station into sure. the juggernaut that it is. If you are completely unbiased and you look at the economic and tax policy of Jim Florio and the economic and tax policies of Christy Whitman, Florio had the better policy.
100%. Do you know there were hundreds of millions of dollars in cuts in his budget?
There were.
I mean, Florio understood management and budgeting.
And had they done this correctly and allowed him to do almost like the Chris Christie town hall style.
Yes.
You know, let me just take this to you. Let me tell
it
to you
straight. He could have sold it.
He could have sold it. And in fact, he had the team around him. But it was the arrogance of the Democrats in the legislature
yep.
that really led to his downfall and the veto-proof majority in the legislature for Republicans. The problem with the Republicans is they just didn't have the leadership to be able to hang on to that majority. This was, at one point, a very deep red state. And not that long ago.
No. And if you look at it, it's funny to watch, really. It's interesting. The Democrats defeated the Republicans over an eight-year period from 93 to 2001. They did it the same way the modern Democratic Party is now being undermined by the communists.
Yes.
The communists in this state, you can call them socialists. I call them communists. That's what they are. They want to redistribute my wealth to somebody who didn't earn it. It's a very basic rob Peter, pay Paul, and just expect that Peter's going to keep working endlessly. And what they're finding is Peter's going to leave and go to Tennessee or South Dakota or, you know, Florida. But it's interesting because you said it earlier that in Belleville, you basically got this young communist who's supported by Bernie Sanders who defeats an incumbent mayor.
Yes.
And that is the Democrats' problem now. These radical leftists are winning and they're doing it at the mayoral level. They're not doing it at the level of the U.S. Senate or governor.
Well, but this is what you and I have talked about for years, right? Is that the Republicans have no plan in this state to groom the next generation of political leadership. And they've been stuck in the same cycle now for so long that, you know, every election you expect that they're going to lose. It's not a question of whether they lose seats. It's how many.
It's by how many. Yeah, it's how many and by how much. Well, that's it. And, you know, and then they keep doing the same thing over and over again. They reelect these guys. I'll be honest. I'm sick of even mentioning the Republican leadership. They're just losers and they don't believe in anything. And the truth is, Florio, to his credit, and Chris Christie, to his credit, came into office with a vision, with a plan, and did their best to execute the plan. Now, that plan ended up it's interesting. The people who come in with conviction end up being hated. And then many, 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 many years later, revered and talked about wow, we missed that one. Chris Christie's approval rating went down to as low as, I believe, 11% at one point.
Yeah, I think
which
you're right.
I don't know how you could even accomplish that. That's a feat. But you watch in 10 years, I'm even saying it now. I've said to people, I said, I don't know. You know, I know the governor. You talked to him. I've talked to him. There were economic ideas that he had that he got thwarted by the Democrats in the legislature who even turned on their own. They turned on Steve Sweeney, the Senate
That's
president,
yes.
who was smart enough to work with Chris Christie. Yeah. I mean, think about how far we could have gone had the Democrats gone along with this when Christie was governor. But instead, then Christie resorted to gimmicks. All of a sudden, the state house renovation, the gas tax, all the nonsense. And to Florio's credit, I don't think it's been until, honestly, you and I started talking about it, that his legacy is now making a resurgence. But I'm going to keep talking about it because I think there's a lot to learn from Chris Christie and Jim Florio. And I would argue two of the best governors that we've had in this state.
Yeah. But I would also, in terms of pure policy, I would throw somebody like Jim McGreevy in there as well.
Agreed.
Not on the way he operated. There are a lot of questions and issues surrounding there. But when you talk about the pure policies that he came in with, fixing motor vehicles, fixing the auto insurance.
I agree.
Those types of things were good policy. And unfortunately, it gets overshadowed by the scandal that ultimately chased him from office. But in terms of governmental policy, he was one of the more solid governors we've had in our generation.
You know, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. And I think you're right. If you can decouple, if you will,
yeah,
the scandal, he understood the mechanics of government, yes, in a way that Chris Christie understood it as well. So, yeah, I'd put him up there, too. And I think that's the mistake that we're going to make over the next 10 years, guys, is that you're going to elect people based on the ads that you see, the sound bites. I mean, you've got most of the MAGA crowd has turned into a MAGA cult, and you've turned on great, great heroes of the pro-Constitution, pro-liberty movement like Tom Massey in Kentucky. And I will tell you, you heard it here first. If Tom Massey loses in Kentucky, that will spell the end of the Republican Party. You will see a mass exodus of very smart people who say the Republican Party is lost because it's turned into a MAGA cult instead of a forward-looking party that can empower small businesses, law enforcement, nurses, teachers, young people looking to afford housing. This is a big, big moment, and it's coming up literally on the 19th of May next week. 8:47, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
Narrow.
.854 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Sussex Man in Newton on the app chat wants to know, as we get closer to the primary, please go over the best Republican candidates to rebuild this part of our state. You know, Sussex Man, I got to look into who is running in Sussex County, and I will give you my straight talk, no BS, even though becoming from BS, poor choice of words for my initials, but no BS on that end when it comes to which candidate I think will best help serve the cause of bringing about common sense and integrity. So I will let you know. Angry Chef in Barnegat, thank you for that comment on the app chat. That's right. The politicians do not stand for us. And whether you're a Trump supporter or not, this MAGA thing has become a really uncomfortable cult. And the idea that even some of you on the app chat are saying that the reason that we should be backing every single thing that Trump says is that Caroline Leavitt is out there talking about all his accomplishments. What the hell does that even mean? He's got a parrot telling you what he thinks you want to hear. And when President Trump left to his own devices, he said the quiet part out loud. He said it's not a factor that Americans are suffering economically. He literally gave the Democrats the soundbite that they are all going to run in their campaign ads to show how disconnected MAGA is with the working men and women of this country. It was a disgusting moment. He should apologize for it. Meanwhile, he's out there, playing games with the Chinese communists, and all those political prisoners are still there. All of the farmland is still owned around our military bases. The Chinese communists are still operating police stations in the U.S., spying on their own people. We've got 600,000 Chinese students that have crushed into our universities, taking jobs and seats away from Americans. It's time to stop. China is our enemy, period, end of sentence. We should end the H-1B-1 program visa and deport every single Indian and Chinese national that's in on that program and start empowering American college kids who are getting those same degrees, but they're prevented from getting the job because Trump has decided that he'd rather play games and foster the international economy instead of worrying about what's happening here at home. And you don't believe me? You can hear the president say it in his own words. 8:57, Jenner Silla with your news next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
.908 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia.
I want to thank Vet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, I don't have a lot of time in this break, so I want to go to Lewis right away and Summit. All right, Lewis, I was critical of President Trump, based specifically on his comments about dismissing American working families who are really suffering and struggling. I want to add one more thing to this, which might get some folks angry, but you got to hear it. Governor Sherrill is not wrong. Gas prices are being directly impacted by the war in Iran. And we're being sold a bill of goods about nuclear weapons. Maybe this is all true. But I said this from the start of the war. I was live on Newsmax as things started to unfold and then overnight. And, you know, going back now, what, 8 weeks or so? And I said, this war has to be wrapped up quickly. We have the military strength and might to do it. We've got to be swift and severe. And it has to be coupled with installing, we're accustomed to regime change in this country. This is an empire, whether you like to deal with that or not. And we failed. We failed at a very basic level. And we left millions of Iranians out there waiting for us to be the savior. And we let them down. We should have installed Reza Pahlavi, who is the crown prince, and said, you are now the interim guy in charge to facilitate peace and a new election. But we failed to do it. Trump kept saying, we'll let them rise up. 90 million people can't rise up when they've been oppressed and enslaved and killed and slaughtered for 47 years and disarmed. All right, Lewis, what do you want to say?
I want to say that you're not wrong about certain aspects. And I do appreciate the fact that at least someone is willing to have some courage to pose these questions. But I'm also feel a little sad that when you say, you know, this MAGA cult, I consider myself a part of MAGA and I consider myself an American and I just love my country. However, I also do realize that there does need to be more bipartisan, and something I hope you might be proud of me.
I
was very pro Republican, pro MAGA, and I wanted to just, and for a year now, I've been having a very cold heart towards Democrats. Mm-hmm. But I realized this is the wrong kind of thinking, and the biggest thing is compromise. And I'm willing to talk and have compromises with people as long as they're willing to talk and have a constructive conversation. And I think that we, as a MAGA conservative, I want to be able to look at my Democratic neighbors, and I want to be able to say, hey, how can we compromise? Because we need that. That's where our strengths come in as Americans.
Yes.
And another thing with the gas prices, this is the last thing I'll say. You know, my grandparents' generation, World War II, the country came together even when it was struggling and tough. And I feel like that we've lost that kind of sense. So, and I know the gas prices really suck. I have a truck. You know, I hate paying the gas prices. I'm having to really struggle. And I'm not rich. I'm poor. I have to really struggle. But I as long as I see that we're on the right side mm-hmm. of morality, then I'm willing to do anything for that. And
Lewis,
When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Lewis, I am proud of you, and I think you said a great thing. I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. The reason I say the word cult is because literally 10 minutes ago, all of MAGA world loved Thomas Massie because they knew he was friends with Charlie Kirk. And the minute that Trump turned on Massie for his own personal selfish reasons or not, or the fact that he is actually owned by big donors, and that's what he's being accused of, I don't know, maybe. But the minute he turned on Massie, too many MAGA members all of a sudden started attacking me on social media, saying that I was a rhino because I supported Massie. I reminded them, Massey's more conservative than almost every single person that Donald Trump has endorsed. He's voted with the Republicans 90% of the time. He is one of the only guys actually standing up for the Constitution. So when you want to find common ground, Lewis, as you said, find it over principles and issues. I am able
to say when Governor Sherrill, and I do not support Governor Sherrill. I did not vote for her. I do not support her. But I'm able to say, look, she had a good point about this tax. She had a good point about the hike in the transit fees. So if we are unable to recognize a good point made by our partisan opponents, then it's all lost. And that was what I'm trying to bring to the table. Now, I do believe it's a very serious tipping point for our country. If Thomas Massie loses, that means big lobbying groups like AIPAC and Donald Trump's own personal desires will have won out over the will of the people, and that is a bad thing. That's what I'm saying. If you lose people that stand up to Donald Trump on policy, then we don't have anything to hold on to, because that means the Republican Party will devolve the way look at the Democrats. You know, the Democrats have squashed opposition and kept their candidates in line for the last 30 years. They don't tolerate anybody poking their head up. They'll crush you and wreck you. And look what's happening to the Democrats. They are being taken over by the communists. That's what's happening. There is a huge problem, and they are now seeing it, and they're paying for the fact that they didn't allow discourse. The Republican Party needs to be a party of ideas and exchange those ideas and fight over those ideas and then present a united front when you decide the best ideas for the American people. And we're not doing that because Trump is on a personal jihad with people he hates, and that is an enormous problem. But yes, Lewis, I'm proud of you. I appreciate everything you said. I got to jump, but thank you, man. You're welcome to call the show anytime. Anthony, Sal, you guys will be first on the other side of traffic and weather next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Pharaoh.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
And just Dan Zarrow inspired.
I never know where you two are going to go. Inspiring during my weather cast.
This was pretty good, though.
You two were like doing the wave.
Yes,
trying to do the weather over here.
We were very excited about this song.
You were really
the fact
about
that we found it is impressive.
To the system.
And I said I didn't like the way he got there.
You know what it does? It brings like a mellow atmosphere. I think we needed it.
You know what I like? Yeah. When Dan is in the middle of his weather live read,
yeah,
and you and I are conspiring something, yes. I see Dan trying to look at the Zeta screen so that he can see what we're doing.
Oh, that's funny.
He's trying to see, because he can see the screen. He's like, what are they doing?
I can't focus on that and everything else at the same time. But I'm seeing you two like flailing your arms. Like a wacky waving inflatable arm flailing.
That's what
man.
It was.
Like, oh, look at us.
I didn't think that's what you were doing, but right, because you can see what Kathy's
and
doing
then
on there.
I'm thinking about, okay, what stupid phrase did I say that's going
to trigger a song.
Something from Bill Spadia's greatest hits?
Well, here we go.
Okay, raindrops falling on our head. Yeah, we got some rain. It's damp as
well. Rain, right?
Absolutely. Good choice.
By complaining because I'm
there we go. Oh, I'm in a good mood all of a sudden. All right, let's go. Help me get right out of that mood. Let's go to Sal in Point Pleasant. What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I still support Massie. I still support Donald Trump.
You can support both. That's exactly right. I agree.
Yeah. I support the war in Iran. I support that the gas prices are expensive right now. If they go to $5, $5.50, so be it. So long as they prevent a terroristic regime from staying in power, I'm all for it. And God forbid that they ever develop nuclear weapons. They're at 60% risk of uranium.
Yeah, but that's what they're telling us, Sal. Do you buy all that? Bad. I don't know if I buy it anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. If they were building a nuke to blow up an American city, we should have wiped them out in 3 days. This idea that we are playing games over time and the president saying, we're going to wait for the Iranian people to rise up. The Iranian people have been enslaved, butchered, killed, and oppressed for 47 years. There's nothing to rise up. So now you have to question, why have we not ended some conflicts first? Was there some DEFCON 1 emergency that we didn't know about? And here's another thing. Why do I have to see all over the internet over a 30-year period, Netanyahu saying that Iran is a couple weeks away from a nuclear weapon for 30 years. I don't know. Something smells, Sal.
Well, all I can tell you is that, you know, he's taken the diplomatic route on this whole situation. I agree with you at a certain point that we should have went in there and turned them into a parking lot.
Yes.
100%. But here's the problem with our country. There are so many people who cannot wait to lampoon every move he makes in our country. And they don't understand how good it is for our country. And that's the problem. He's being eviscerated.
But Sal, for him to say he doesn't care that we're getting gouged at the pump and our bills are to a point where the average family is truly struggling. You know, maybe the president is too protected away from the real people in terms of the barrier and the buffer with all the people around him. Like, you know, people like Susie Wiles, are you kidding me? Totally complicit with Big Pharma? You can't trust her. The people around the president have insulated him to a point where he needs to get back out to what he used to do, talking to the janitor, talking to the truck driver. Because I can tell you, to a person, they are suffering and struggling right now, and not just in blue states, also in red states. And the idea that this president would take advantage of the MAGA movement to support people like Lindsey Graham and go after patriots like Tom Massey is a betrayal of every one of us who voted for him. And for me, I voted for him 6 times. But Sal, all I want is a conversation. You can't say anything about Israel without somebody accusing you of being anti-Semitic. And you know what's funny? I'm pro-Israel, but I was one of the biggest critics of Netanyahu for dragging on this Gaza nonsense for more than 2 years. He stepped in it, and it tells me that they used Gaza like they're using Ukraine. It is an absolute money laundering operation, and the rich get richer. Look at all the people going over to China with the president. This is the rich elite getting richer and richer, and the American workers are suffering. You want to see progress in China? End the H-1B1 visa program. Raise those tariffs to a point where it hurts. Why? Because China lives on slave labor. It is not a fair competition. There is no fair competition with a slave state like China. Anyway, thanks, Sal, for getting me all riled up. Anthony, you'll be next, 9:29. Jen Ursula with the news.9:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Jen, we were talking earlier. I traveled a lot when I was before I got into media. And I don't know. I had to go to Seattle. And I was there for only a few hours. So I flew out. I had to go take my broker's test.
Oh.
So this was years ago. And so I called a local gym.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lie. I said, I'm taking my final exam to become a broker in Washington State, and I'm in Seattle on whatever the day was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any membership specials or anything? And the guy's like, oh, well, we do free days for, you know, potential members. I'm like, that sounds great to me.
Yeah.
So I did. I flew in. I landed around 10 o'clock. My test was at 1, went to the gym, worked out. They charged me $2 for the towel. Took a shower, put my stuff in the locker, walked to take my test, took the test, walked back, had a second workout, took another shower, to the airport, red eye home, went to work the next day.
Wow.
Right?
That's interesting.
I was thinking about Jody and I were talking about this yesterday because last night I worked until 11.
Uh-huh.
And I drove home. I got home around 1 o'clock, like 12:45. And so, you know, I slept a couple hours. She's like, okay, let me just clarify. You were in your early 30s doing that.
Oh yeah, you can't do that.
You are no longer in your early, and I'm like, that is a true point.
Yes.
But I did it anyway, and I'm feeling pretty good today. I slept two and a half hours.
You don't think you'll crash later?
I can't. So I've got a full day ahead. There's nothing I can do.
All right.
So what am I going to do?
If you keep going, that's people always ask me that. Like when I do like early morning, they're like, yeah. "Do you nap?" I'm like, "No."
Thank you.
I don't.
It throws me off.
I can't do it.
You feel groggy. Yeah. And like it just
the nap makes you feel worse. Yeah, I get it.
If you sleep too long.
But see, I just keep going. If I know I have stuff to do, I go straight because the minute you do sit down, it's over.
You can't stop.
No.
Now, I have not had any coffee yet. So
wait a minute. So you're crazy just on crazy today.
I'm just going on crazy. Yeah. Exactly. But I was thinking about it. Like, it didn't occur to me that I wouldn't do it. But I got to the studio last night, and the when they booked me, he's like, look, keep your schedule open. I'm like, do you think I said the only conflict I have after midnight is sleep. Like what else am I? What do you mean keep my schedule open? Yeah, what am I doing after that?
Yeah.
So that we were thinking of going until 1 o'clock, and thankfully the producers are like, you know, nobody's watching the news at midnight, so why don't we just do a tight hour of coverage on Trump and China, and then move on. So we did, and it worked out.
Listen, you would have done what I've done in many, many times. You would have left the city and just came straight here.
I said that to Kathy.
I've done that.
Kathy, right? She asked me when I came in. She's like, because I beat everybody in today, too.
Yeah.
But I was here early.
Because you didn't sleep, really. That's why.
I literally bounced up. I slept for like 2.5 hours.
Bounced up. I can totally see that.
Sometimes you have to keep going. Thought I came straight here.
Yeah, you have to keep going because you're right.
Yeah.
Then you're foggy.
So this is my concern.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Saturday, so I'm a special guest on the morning show 7 to 9. And then I host the afternoon show 1 to 3. So I've got a gap.
Oh, boy.
How do I fill the gap?
Now it's a layover.
It's a layover.
It's in an airport. So
it's a layover,
find
right.
Find a gym.
You know, I thought about
find
that.
A someone, free, find a gym in the city.
Someone just sent me there's a yoga studio within walking distance.
Of course there is. There's a yoga studio probably in every corner in New York.
Right?
Yeah, you could definitely find
I know.
That.
I was thinking
you
maybe I'll get a
could
yoga.
Fill
what
the
do you think of that?
Yeah, go do it.
I know. I was thinking that.
Absolutely.
But then I've got to get showered and I need a cool down. I can't do the yoga too close to the broadcast.
Well, you're
because if
have
I'm
to...
right, like the, you know, it's 110 degrees in the yoga studio, so I'll sweat out 3 to 4 pounds. My record is 5 pounds in one class.
Wow,
5 pounds in an hour.
It's got to be liquid.
Think about that.
It's water.
Yeah,
but you're still.
I'm saying you're literally imagine 5 pounds in an hour. I should ask anybody, what workout have you done that well with? Because I don't know any other workout.
Yeah.
I've never had a workout where you could sweat that much. Other
because
than
it's
yoga.
Hot yoga. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 100. It's about 110. Ooh. And it's been hotter.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love it.
I mean, I love the heat, so I'm sold. I would
have
do
you
it.
Not done hot
I've
yoga?
I've not done it, no.
Jen,
because no one wants to do it with me.
No, sorry.
And not that I can't go by myself, but I think it would just be fun to go with somebody.
No.
You no. Gotta, you,
it is,
no.
No. Let me explain.
No.
Let me explain. It is the only time of the day that I don't have a phone. It's like literally. So Jody and I go together, but sometimes we're not in the same spot if it's crowded.
Yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
And it is the most peaceful hour to hour and a half.
That's my question.
That I have in my life, other than even sleeping is not peaceful.
You do 90 minutes?
Sometimes 90 minutes.
Wow.
I prefer the 60, but I do a lot of 75s. It's 60, 75, 90.
Because I've never done it, so I'm going to look like an awkward idiot while the rest of you are all like doing
let me tell you something.
Downward dog.
I couldn't touch my toes. I couldn't do anything when I started. I've been doing it now 5 years, six years. And I still can't do certain poses. I mean, you know, your body over time. But I tell people, if you've got young kids, get them into a yoga class. Young, because the way you stretch, I'm telling you something, it is absolutely.
Well, I do have a hot yoga studio near my house, so I should try that, and maybe I'll look into it.
I think you should.
All right.
Sold. There you go. 9:44. Fast traffic instant weather next.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning and goodbye. I am out of time. Kathy, our board up, brought up an interesting question.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring the pictures into the bow and arrow.
I want to see the actual bow and arrow.
I have
well,
the bow and arrow. It's in my garage. Dan, you have a face on like, what could the vet...
He's wondering, why does Bill have a bow and arrow?
Every once in a while. I have a bow and arrow. My father-in-law had it.
Who doesn't?
But I don't know what kind it is, so I was going to take a picture of it. I was going to bring it in, and then I thought better of bringing a bow and arrow in. All of a sudden, there's going to be a SWAT team outside.
Why?
Because you never know. People are very sensitive about weapons.
Someone brought a weapon into this building?
Was it a certain comedy club owner?
Yeah, that one.
Who had the knife? Yes, I do. Yeah, thank you, Dan. All right, guys, got to get out of here. Look, we'll have a big show for you tomorrow. Of course, it's Blue Friday, and I'll have an update on the hearing that's happening in Trenton as legislators try to provide cover for these butchers, these so-called doctors who are mutilating kids, and it's got to stop. This is, by the way, guys, this is like an 80-20 issue, even 90-10. Most people, they do not want to see children subjected to all kinds of puberty blockers and surgeries. So we're on this. I'll keep you posted. To go to the website, nj1015.com/BillSpadia. Two articles that I want you to read. One is, find out who I voted for in the Republican primary for the United States Senate and why. Got that article up. And just so we're clear, there will be no masking and no jabbing, no nonsense. You can keep your monkeypox and your Hanta, whatever the hell. I'm out. Check, please. And I'll let me know how you feel and put your comments in the app chat about my article about this coming fear mongering that we are experiencing right now. All right, guys, got to get out of here. Yes, a little bit of rain, but it's clearing out. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. It's 9:54. I'll see you tomorrow at 6.